You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome along to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 8, Episode 23 coming your way this week. And we are recording just a couple of hours after Shamrock Rovers, it's officially confirmed they're out of the Champions League. But I think a fairly credible performance tonight against Sparta Prague. We'll come to that in a second. But I think their performance across the two legs, they'd probably take a bit of confidence now going into the Europa League. Meanwhile, last week, a brilliant result for St. Pat's, their best performance of the season with that first leg victory against FC Vaduz, and Shelburne, unfortunately, totally outclassed against Zurich. So we'll discuss those European games, look ahead to the Pats game and the Shells game on Thursday, and then we'll get stuck into what happened across the Premier and First Divisions over the last few days as well. So, settle in for another episode of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. You're in the company of Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We're brought to you in association with our main sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. Guys, as I said, we'll start with Rovers. I think a fairly encouraging performance. I know they've conceded four more goals and the aggregate score looks a little bit heavy, but I think a decent performance overall. It was some of the goals they gave away across the two legs were horrendous.
Yeah, they were. Like, I don't think there's much to be ashamed of here. Like, you're gone 2-0 down in the home leg is obviously the killer. And maybe from a Prague point of view, they wanted to get to go ahead and put it down, you know, finish it off, which they probably did in the first leg. It wasn't beyond the realms of possibility. And I think we were saying last week that why can't there be a massive upset? You know, probably you have to look a long way back. Maybe Bate Borisov job was that probably the biggest giant killing. Probably was. Maybe some of the Dundalk results in group stages down through the years, maybe that Maccabi Tel Aviv, they almost did a job in Zenit. So they would have been big opportunity or big giant killings as well. But this would have been a huge result to bring back, pull this tie out of the fire. But to get two goals away from home against a massive European team is very commendable, I think. I don't think we had too much or too many expectations, did we?
No.
You know, like getting through the first one was a great result, or getting through the first tie was massive, particularly for the ramifications and the way you step down from Europa to conference as well. So obviously that was very important, and we probably didn't hold out too much hope that they'd do a job there. So, pretty satisfied with that. Like there's no shame in it.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Celje up next there. They're currently 5-0 down in the second leg against Bratislava. It was 1-1 the first leg, but they had a man sent off tonight after about 15 minutes and they've been obliterated. So they're going to be going up against a side who surely have taken a big confidence knock after that result this evening. So you said, why aren't upsets in Europe possible? Maybe this is where, you know, we can see Rovers go and do a job on someone.
Absolutely, why not? You have to look at these things like, positively, probably Irish teams haven't had too much success, you know, in or haven't had too many giant killings down through the years, as I said. So I think you have to look at this as I said, as to why not. Celje, Slovenian side, know less than nothing about them except that they lost 5-0 tonight. And they had a man sent off after 15 minutes. That's all I know. So, look, they can surely take a look at these lads. And as you said, took a hammering tonight.
They're definitely a step down on what they faced this evening. And
there's no question about that. Like,
a quick look through their kind of European pedigree there. And obviously, I remember them. I think I was at the game when they played Dundalk in a one-legged tie. Maybe would that have been a COVID game, maybe? Why was it only one tie? So maybe I wasn't there. But I remember the game, and I remember them being a really good side, and they brushed Dundalk aside very easily, 3-0. But they've never been to a group stage, and Shamrock Rovers have. So why not?
Why not? Absolutely. Was that game What's that game? Next Thursday, is it? Or one of the legs, is it?
Yeah, it should be next Thursday, shouldn't it?
Well, there you go. Yeah, we'll look forward with excitement.
Yeah. As for, do you want to start with Shells or Pats in the Conference League?
Keep the positivity.
Keep the positivity going. Yeah, great performance from Pats last Thursday. Definitely their best performance of the Kenny era so far.
Yeah, definitely. Huge result. Some nice goals as well. Some well taken goals from Pats.
The big boys finally stepping up. We've been asking for months, but Forrester and Mulroney in particular were on fire the other night.
Yeah, they were very good. And they needed to be like they needed to step it up a bit. You know, you talk about games like this, like where there's opportunities to not write your season, but like this is a huge first tie. Really good goal by Mulroney. They started off after like what, 6 or 7 minutes or something like that, to set them on their way. So I think like there was a bit of that kind of. Would you say that? I think that might have settled them. They were on the front foot playing really nice football and attacking football. They weren't resting on it. They weren't trying to be too conservative, which we might have seen from Pats in recent times. So to go 2-0 up, I think, was it Mulroney? Mulroney got the second after 15 or 20 minutes, whatever it was. And well, you thought you were in, right, lads, we're going to put these lads down. But I think with the European sides, you know, you can never... You can never rest, and they'd probably be disappointed maybe to not go 3-0 up. I think there was a chance from Forrester inside the box that was kind of half cleared off the line or something. The keeper made a bit of a hames of it in the lead up to it. But yeah, I think the Vadu's got a goal back, and it was kind of like it was nearly like a 5-a-side goal or something. It was all like, you know, it was like all. Like 10 yards out, and like I think like someone got a nick on it and just took it away from Anang in the goal.
Yeah, when I seen the first in lifetime, I said, oh, Anang's after letting it through his hands. But then when I seen the replay, there was the clear deviation of the ball in front of him, so I don't think there was much he could do. But yeah, I suppose disappointed to concede a goal like that. But they go down the other end and score again, then, which was huge. And they could have got one right at the end as well. The keeper made a brilliant save. Was it a Bulger, I think, Aaron Bulger, that came on, had the header?
Yeah, I had the header. I managed to see the last few minutes of it. So it was good to see the Pats were still pushing. Do you know what I mean? Still trying to make hay, and they were very unlucky to not get that last little header. The keeper does pull out a good save.
You just hope now.
It was nearly gone by him, like, as well. Which is
it was a great save. You've seen it before, where these chances in the first leg come back to bite you in the second leg. I hope that won't be the case for Pats, and I don't think it should be, because I know they have to go away from home next. But I think there was a general feeling that these lads aren't actually great. That was the kind of feeling around Richmond the other night. I think that,
but that wouldn't stop Pats from filling the togs full next week. Do you know what I mean? Like let's not make any bones about it here. There's, you know, we might have said that about the Bruno's Magpies there a few weeks ago. But these lads are not no great shakes, but Derry made them look like, you know, savages in a good way. So I wouldn't just be League of Ireland teams that just in the same way I was saying, like, we're not in a place that we can dump on teams hoping that they get slaughtered in Europe. I know that mightn't be very popular, but particularly me, who like hates most of the teams in the division or either division, I don't think we're there yet. When we get more teams going through a couple of rounds in Europe, at least, never mind getting into group stages, we might have be able to enjoy that luxury a bit more. But they just need to keep focus. I think Stephen Kenny in games like this will be an extra advantage, considering his experience in this regard. So hopefully he'll be able to maybe not turn out such a defensive performance, but, you know, just keep them going, keep them ticking, and not to do anything stupid like what we saw in the last few weeks in European ties.
Yeah, guys, we'll move on to Shells in a second and their game in Zurich the other night. But just while we're on the subject of Pats, obviously the big headline there, two headlines, I suppose, over the last 24 hours, Keaton departing, maybe no great surprise. I know some people were surprised to see him leave so quickly into his his stint there, but as we've kind of touched on quite a bit on the pod, wasn't really happening for him there. And then the signing of Aidan Keane, that was one that certainly not too many saw coming. We know he'd been linked with Bowes. He certainly was linked with Sligo as well, as old club, but hadn't heard him linked with Pats until the announcement went out that he was a Pats player.
Yeah, we probably should have just gone, well, who is the money and who's willing to spend it? Which I think we should have been thinking more about Pats. Don't they? It was never really a runner for Bowes. Money is no object at Pats, but
how you get?
It's a bit of an object that in Bowes. So I think it wasn't really going to be a runner for them. With Keenan coming back, this is the second go at Pats, isn't it?
But
both teams are both Cork and Pats bringing players back, doing the old Bowes trick. But I think it's probably a good move for, we'll say, for Keating in particular. As you said, it wasn't working out. It was a difficult time for all. Like, we'll say, as well, with John Daly leaving, it didn't probably help the situation at all. It wasn't working out great for any Pats player. And I think with a player not scoring goals, that's what you're counted on. Do you know what I mean? Like,
there's extra eyes on him.
There's extra eyes, and you look at the stats, and you know, it's 14 games and 3 goals, or whatever it is, or 2 goals, whatever it is. I absolutely haven't a clue, which is regular. But I think when you look at it like that, and time goes on, and next, you know, it's 5 or 6, 7 games that you haven't scored, or and probably haven't really had too many chances, you're like, oh, Jesus, this is getting to be an awful place, and I think
he wasn't bringing much to the table at Pats. Even like, you have strikers that don't score goals at times, but even you contrast it to someone like, let's say, Jamie Gullen there at Dundalk. Now, I'm of the opinion, I'm talking to Dundalk fans every day, and they all seem to think Gullen's going to come good and he's going to score goals. I just don't think he's up to the grade, but he does work his socks off, and when he's having a good game, he can be very effective in terms of disrupting defence with his physicality. Gaps open up. He brings teammates into play. We weren't seeing that with Keaton even. He just was a non-entity in the game.
He was a non-entity in the game, but that wasn't helped by the Pats players around him. Like they were being extremely ineffective.
Pointed out at times, though, his movement wasn't helping. He wasn't helping himself with his movement at times either.
No, but also, like I'd say, part of that as well was like the Pats players weren't able to find anybody. Mm-hmm. Never mind just Keating. Like, their passing was poor. There were the only bits of passing that they were well able to do, a passing into Forrester, who would pass it out to the left back or right back. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very one-dimensional stuff. Boring rubbish. And I think when you look at it from how they're playing, from defence and into midfield, like, I don't think Keating had much of a chance. Like, they're going to really have to do a bit of rejigging about how they play when it comes to Keane getting on the end of stuff. So hopefully it'll work out well for Keane.
Hopefully is the key word there. We've seen this before. Owen Doyle, no, he had a first season was semi-successful, I think, but he definitely didn't hit the highs that people had hoped for. We've seen Keating go in there. So they've had so many big name strikers, probably since Christy Fagan, is the last proper reliable goal scorer that they had. They've had a lot of players in that position since, and none of them have really hit the highs. What's the chap that was with Harps that went up there last year, the year before?
Atunde.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't happen for him at Pats either.
No. So there just seems to be a bit of a poison chalice about the number 9 up there.
Yeah, there is. I think Longford Town suffered from that as well. I think Andy Myler was the top scorer in the league, and then he did score a few goals for Longford, but like, we were expecting minor miracles to be occurring because he was such a lethal goal scorer for Drogheda, and then he came into Longford and it just didn't happen after that. But look, I think there is a job on for Keane as well. Like, he has, you know, when was the last player for Pats that scored 15 or 16 goals in a season? Probably Forrester, maybe, from midfield. I couldn't honestly tell you. So are we going to get something like that? Are we going to get a striker?
You see, it could be just a perfect storm. If they can get through this European tie, confidence is up, everything's up. Next thing, Keane goes in, he scores a goal or two early on. Next thing, that's it. That's the spark for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and look, that could very well be the case.
Do you think if they can get through this tie on Thursday and off the back of their best performance of the season by some way, do you think they can carry that form into the league and finish the league strongly?
Well, they've added a lot of players. You know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that these players start clicking. El Bazzetti has come in.
Yeah. Did quite well on Thursday.
Yeah. And that's probably on significant money as well, just when we're talking about money, no object here. I think Stephen Kenny is making the right moves as regards personnel.
Nine points off the top four, still a good gap to close at this stage of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. They're running out of time. You know, when you hit August, time is just running out, and people think or they'll be thinking of the league ending, you know, October, November but that's only a couple of months away, and you have weekends of FAI Cup action and all that stuff. So I think there's going to be an opportunity to put a bit of a shine on it, but I don't think there's too many ways of looking at it. Unless there's a good old stint in Europe, I think the season's going to be a bit of a disappointment overall.
And before we move on to the league, we'll just wrap up our European segment here with Shelburne. Look, we knew, a bit like Rovers, they were taking a big step up in terms of the opposition they faced in the previous round to what they were about to face in this round. But it was worrying a little bit too, wasn't it, to see the top team in the league so far this season, were absolutely nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. I watched this game last Thursday and they barely got a touch of the football.
Yeah, I didn't see it myself. Was it that bad?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, when you look at Zurich, they're probably in and around group stages for the last number of years. So it's not surprising that a team in the early part of the qualifiers are going to do a bit of damage to you. I'm not that. Are you that bothered by it? Do you think that's a problem?
Not bothered by it, because again, I totally expected this, but to concede, we talk about Shells, how strong they are defensively and all the rest, and then for them to concede inside the first 20 seconds, and the goals they conceded are just goals they wouldn't concede here at home. So again, does it lean you that way that the league isn't in that great of a place at the moment, standard-wise?
I wouldn't look at it like that, to be quite honest. I think these are just very, very strong teams. We're talking about a Swiss team. They're just better. Do you know what I mean? We're not talking about in the context of we'll say Derry. They're a few points off Shelburne and they got dumped out by a team from Gibraltar.
But Shelburne themselves only scraped by St. Joseph's.
Only scraped by the.
Only scraped by them, yeah.
Positive spin on it here.
Everyone would have viewed, and I would have viewed it this way when it came to Shells in Europe this season. Getting through the first round, anything beyond that was a bonus, because they haven't been in Europe in nearly 20 years. I think they're further on in their progression than we expected at this stage in terms of where they are in the table, getting into Europe last season. No one expected that for them. So I think they're a lot further along in the project than they probably should be at this stage. But just to see them that far off, our best team in the league this season, that we always talk about being so strong and organised, just were very easy to play against. And I just think it's a bit of an indictment on where the league is at the minute.
Well, what are you looking for? I don't think that's that bad of a result, to be really honest about it.
But it was such a one-sided game. It was 3-0, but it was a complete non-contest throw-the-towel-in job. They were nowhere near it.
I think that's probably a bit harsh, to be quite honest. I know what you're saying, and I totally understand. But these teams are just well established European sides. I know what you're. I don't think you're comparing like with like at all. I think it's just not real. Sorry, I don't there isn't much else to say. These teams are just strong, competitive. Teams that know what they're at, and that's all there is to it.
Okay. Right, we'll move into the league itself. And the results on Friday night in the Premier Division had a significant impact on how the bottom of the table looks. Draw at a 2-0 winners against Waterford, while Bohemians were held to a 1-1 draw at home to Dundalk. But we'll start with Drogheda against Waterford. I'm glad I backed Drogheda a few weeks ago on the pod. Remember when we had, and I forget which listener it was, apologies, that played in the Predictions League, and it was... Was it before the Louth derby they predicted a win for
the Was this the first one or the second one?
The first one, I think. And they said that this would be... that they said Drogheda would get one more point this season. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Me and you were talking about could Drogheda get themselves out of it and all the rest. And I said to you, looking at the games they had left, even though they had taken pumpings off Waterford twice this season, I looked at Waterford coming to Drogheda. I said, they still won't fear Waterford coming to Drogheda. As well as Waterford are going in the league,
yeah,
Drogheda is still a tough place to go. And there's going to be games like that coming up at home that is going to be absolutely decisive. I think Dundalk have maybe six home games left themselves this season. Home form is going to be absolutely crucial in deciding who finishes ninth and who finishes 10th. But this was a massive, massive result for Drogheda. And I know Waterford, they're going to be without Sargent, the keeper, for quite a while. And I know that Waterford fans have been talking a good bit about that this week, about what a big loss he's going to be to them in the remainder of the season. But we've probably seen a bit of a mistake from the Waterford goalkeeper for the Perreault goal. He spills it and Perreault, good reactions and taps it in. But by God, he needed that goal. So not only was the 3 points, the clean sheet, massive, but to get Perreault scoring again, that could be very important now for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, that's why I said maybe the penalty, the consolation penalty against Dundalk might have been a good idea to give it to Perreault a couple of weeks ago. But look, he was on hand. You know, you need to be a fox in the box. And it was, I don't think it was the worst mistake in the world from the keeper. He didn't look very sure of himself for large parts of it, to be quite honest. But I think this mistake was just a bit... his old man got in the way and he was trying to grab the ball around him and it just didn't happen. So these things happen. There's other players on the pitch. It's gonna be like that sometimes. And Perreault was on hand to put them 1-0 up. And that was a real important goal to be getting. You know, puts the pressure onto Waterford a bit, probably... even though not for you, obviously, but there's a bit of pressure on them to be going to Drogheda and putting them down. Like, the team that's at the bottom of the table, they need to be impressing. But Drogheda played extremely well, managed the game quite well, still created some chances, and got the 3 points, which But do you think that puts a bit of pressure on Dundalk? They're looking over their shoulder a bit more?
Yeah, I was in Dundalk today and talking to a few fans, and they are really feeling the pressure. A few of them said, I think we're in trouble, which I was surprised to hear, because Dundalk have been going along okay recently. Been going along probably more than okay.
Are they looking for... like, this kind of reminds me of like what Waterford were like early on in the season. Like, they're ninth in the table. Like, it's not going to be just rosy. There's going to be lots of, you know...
Yeah, they probably, maybe there was a feeling when they beat Drogheda a few weeks ago that was just going to totally knock the stuffing out of Drogheda and they might just fall away. But I think we know Kevin and Dara too well that was never going to be a possibility. But I watched Bo's Dundalk on Friday night on LOI TV, and first half Dundalk were absolutely dreadful. They were terrible in the first half, and Bo's should have probably put the game to bed. Tierney scored a really, really nice goal for Bo's, and then they hit the post as well. And they had other opportunities that they didn't take. And then in the second half, I don't know whether Dundalk improved massively or whether Bowes just totally dropped off. I think there was a little bit of both. Dundalk got themselves back into the game through a really poor piece of play from Bowes messing around with the ball in their own third, and ball breaks to Daryl Horgan in the box and stuck it through the legs of the keeper. But go on, you wanted to say something there?
No, it was just it was just really poor defending. But like, Dundalk shouldn't have been... the way Bowes were playing in the first half, like, Dundalk were so bad.
Oh, terrible, yeah.
Like, it was... like, I can't believe that Dundalk got even that far off the pitch or were able to, like, pass Dundalk, it to each other.
Dundalk could have won it in the second half. Hakiki comes on late and missed an absolutely brilliant chance. He's just leaning back in the box and puts it over the bar. And I was surprised he didn't start. And I said it to a couple of Dundalk fans, actually, after the game. I was like, watching them, particularly in the first half, and I was picked up on commentary, anytime we'll say Dundalk were in the Bows half and had the ball and lost it, straight away, instead of trying to win the ball back, everyone dropped back into the Dundalk half. And it looked like a very, I don't want to use the word negative approach, but it looks like they were set up to make sure they got a point on the road.
Yeah, no, completely. That was definitely the case.
But I was looking at that game, right, that they're Bows are the team directly ahead of them. They were within touching distance going into that game. And they have Dundalk have played two games more. So I think if Dundalk really wanted to reel in Bows and pull them into that, I know you hate the word dogfight, but that's what it is. If they wanted to pull them into that relegation scrap, I think they probably had to go to Daily Mount and win the other night. And I think it was a missed opportunity to go up to Daily Mount. I know Bows had a great result in the Cup the week before, but their league form has been shocking for the last while. And the way Dundalk finished the game, and maybe more importantly, the way Bows finished or didn't finish the game.
Yeah,
I think that was a chance for Dundalk to go up there and get 3 points. And I think maybe they might regret not being a bit more ambitious about their approach.
I think so, but at the same time, I think probably Dundalk don't have the confidence to be putting it on teams at all. As bad as Bows are, I think they probably would have been delighted with the point and would have taken it at the crack of dawn that morning. So I don't think there's any real point of going, yeah, could they have put it on Bows and won it? I never felt that that was going to be the case. I watched most of this game myself. I don't think that was a runner, to be quite honest. There was a couple of chances, and even there was a shot, I think, from... was it Mahan in the last couple of minutes? It was kind of like a break.
No, it was Owen Kenny.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
he kind of broke through. And there was options... Oh, no.
You know, he had a shot from range and it looked like it was going in the top corner, just whizzed past the post. That was the Kenny chance.
No, there was one before that where, there was options for, I think it was Mahan, on either side. And...
yeah, another one. He left. He passed it to his right, but he left it a bit behind his man, didn't he?
No, different one again. He took a shot because I think Bows players, defenders were trying to, cut him off between the two, and he just was like, right, this is kind of opened up for me here, and he took a shot, and the keeper made a good save, but it was kind of hit straight at him, and the corner came to nothing. So there was opportunities there. I was disappointed with how Bows played throughout the game, simply because they went 1-0 up, as you said, good finish from Tierney, but Jesus, to concede, to be 1-1 at half time is not surprising for Bows, but Jesus, it's right kicking the hole.
You mentioned Matten came on there. He's been just destroyed with injury since he signed for Dundalk, but he actually, I love the look of him as a player. I think he's, if they could get him fit, they've brought in Hikiki who looks top class as well, and probably the best player on the pitch the other night was A. Dervin. So they've done
in
terms of their signings, they've probably done okay. I'm just having a look, who do you think's had the better window, Drogheda or Dundalk? Drogheda have brought in Shane Farrell, who apparently was very, very good the other night against Waterford. That's no surprise. He's come back. He did very well. His previous loan spell from Lincoln. Douglas James Taylor is a player I've already highlighted. I think he looks a really good addition. Wogan's back on loan, but Dennison seems to be the number one there now for the meanwhile. And James Bulger's a player I don't know much about. But certainly Farrell, Ahui and Taylor look really good additions there. Drogheda. Then at Dundalk, they brought in Hayden Cann, who I don't think has really played much yet. Garbutt, again, another one that hasn't played a huge amount. McGill, Hikiki is one that looks good. Faulkner's settling all right. Goddard, the keeper, struggled so far. Pike looks a good addition from Tranmere. And then A. Dervin, who I said had a very good game the other night. But I think maybe I might say Drogheda have had the slightly better window.
I'd probably say so. I just think I'm not going on that keeper for Dundalk.
No.
I think he's going to ship a few mistakes this season.
Like it's mad. I know we've talked about the standard of goalkeeping in the league before, but and I know you can be knee-jerk about these things. Like there has been success of keepers coming in on loan in the past. You think of the Czech lad that was at Pats a few years ago. But we were just talking about the Waterford keeper making a bit of a mistake for the draw of the goal. He's on loan from an English club and hasn't played a huge amount of football over the last few years. The Dundalk goalkeeper looks very shaky. There's a few lads there, and we saw Pitaluga earlier in the year come in, and what a disaster he was. It's a risk still when you take in these lads from English clubs. It's such a specialist position. Lads that haven't been playing, serious matches. Maybe they've played the odd
or a lot of senior EFL, football either.
Yeah, EFL trophy match, or as you said, academy football, where the pressure isn't really on. When you throw them into the cauldron of kind of relegation six pointers, mistakes
and relegation dogfights,
mistakes can occur very easily.
Well, yeah, and I think that was the case. Not obviously not the case, but I just like looking at that Dundalk keeper. What did you say? It's Goddard, was it?
Yeah, his kicking is atrocious.
Kicking is poor. It's a big step up. Like, you're looking at a team that has a good, we'll say, big crowds at their home games. There's a big crowd there on Friday in Daly Mount. He probably hasn't, I know this is mad to say, but he probably hasn't played in front of 4,000 and 5,000 fans that often. And you're in this position, like, that was somewhat of a six pointer just based on table position. And he just looked incredibly nervous,
yeah,
throughout the game. And it wasn't. Look, they still got the point. That's what was needed. It was like a tough result.
We touched on this before as well when we had Garrett McGlynn on the pod a few weeks ago. He spoke about his disappointment that there's not goal scoring strikers coming through the academies, that top scorers this season are Hooban and Amond.
Yep.
And we're seeing a lot of players going to
the old farts.
We're seeing a lot of boys going to the UK, doing a season or two over there, not really playing, and then coming back.
Yeah.
And we see that again with Aidan Keane this week. So
there's
let me just finish that point. Okay. So we're not really seeing young players come in and replace those players. But if you look at goalkeepers as well, how many young goalkeepers are coming through the academies and be given an actual chance in the first team? Why are so many clubs turning to English academies for goalkeepers?
Is the factory coming through? Like, is it?
I think that's the point I'm trying to make. Like, we're here now, the progress we are making with the academies, but there's still a long, long way to go, because obviously the players, just a lot of managers feel that what they have at their clubs, they're not ready.
I don't disagree with that at all, but I just think there's more. Yeah, I know. I need to think about that, because a goalkeeper position is such obviously the specialist position. Mm. It's a more, in one sense, it's a lot more pressurized. You have to be seriously strong mentally. If you make a mistake, it's going to cost you. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's probably something that needs to be looked at with, like, I think we touched on it last week with players coming back anyway. Never mind, focusing on keepers being brought in from teams abroad. But I think maybe on one hand, the fact that there are keepers moving around, going on loan to places for a season or two, and that's just not to Ireland, but like to the lower leagues in the UK. It's because that, like, they sit on the bench for so long. Like, you can't throw a keeper on for 10 minutes. Like, that's no use to anybody. So there probably are, I'd say they're probably the most loaned position going. But I don't know. I'd have to, like you mentioned, like, how far, we know how far we have to go with the academy structures in this country. Like, we're still at the planning phase of that. I know changes are being made already, but it's going to be a long time before we see the real fruits of that coming through. And unfortunately, like, we're on the national team,
we're blessed with keepers.
But, like, who's the Brian Maher? He was the starting keeper for the under-21s. Has anybody been in for him? Like, a team in the Championship or League One? I've never heard any talks about him being moved.
Whispers here and there, but
nothing serious, like, nothing genuine by my estimation. So I think it's something to be thinking about. All right, but yeah, I don't know.
One club that doesn't have an issue with their goalkeeper is Sligo Rovers. Ed McGinty's probably for most pound for pound best keeper in the league, and they had another brilliant result last weekend, a 2-0 win in the Connacht Derby against Galway United. Is Europe now a possibility for Sligo Rovers?
Well, just considering how clogged up it all is, like, it probably is. And with teams not
4 on the bounce.
Yeah, oh,
five if you include the cup.
Oh, it's glorious stuff. And I think the fact that they're fourth ahead of Shamrock Rovers, I know they played a couple of games in advance of that, but they're level on points and
with Waterford,
look back what a couple of months ago on this pod, Sligo, what are they at? Waterford are buzzing at the towards the top of the table, looking at Europe and all that, and now we're have Sligo on their coattails, well level on points with Waterford. So look, it was another great result, really good performance. That goal from Herrera was a bit of class.
Yeah.
Just the way he stood still and smacked it into the corner, really good finish, and then sewed it up near the end. So another really good result in the Connacht Derby for Sligo. Hard to believe that they've turned it around to the extent that they have, but I suppose you're looking at, you mentioned Pats earlier on, like they're 9 points off third and fourth. That seems like a bit of a challenge at the moment with 11 games left in the season. Why can't Sligo stay there?
Yeah, because Galway and Waterford, are they starting to maybe lose a little bit of that early season momentum?
Maybe a bit. Like I think with if you look at the table there, Waterford have 10 losses. They've plenty of wins, but they're not drawn too many games. The fewest draws in the league.
Draws, yeah.
And I suppose that's not great. Like, are they digging out results? Are they, are they coming back? Are they able to go 1-0 down and then pull it out of the fire? You need that type of stuff to keep you at the top end of the table. But look, they've been there in third and fourth place for a long time. This season they've been very good. So I can't see why they can't. I don't see why they can't keep it going. But it is a long season of, there was a lot of Friday, Monday games and stuff like that in the earlier part of the season, accommodating Europe and stuff. But they've also had some really good results. Like they bet the life out of Rovers up in Tala earlier on this season. Some really nice, positive, exciting results. But I think that's just going to be the case for a promoted team. Like no matter who you are, it's very difficult to keep the consistency in the league above you in the following season. So I wouldn't have too much, like fifth or sixth is a great season. Yeah.
I think no matter really what happens for Sligo, I think this has been a successful season. We all expected them to be fighting relegation. It doesn't look like they're going to be. You couldn't really see them finishing.
Yes.
Let's just say Pat's really kicking to gear now over the next while. They might climb up the table. Maybe Shamrock Rovers get their act together. Even if they finish somewhere like seventh and there was a good cushion between Bowes and Dock Drogheda, I think that would still be a very successful season for Sligo. They're still in the cup as well. So I think they performed above expectations. It's been a good success.
It took them a while to get going there, but I'd be inclined to agree with you there, even me.
Moving on to the First Division, and a great result for Bray Wanderers. They were 3-1 winners against Wexford, what we think is a direct playoff rival.
Is it really a playoff rival? Wexford are not consistent.
No.
I know that, but they're...
Lone is in the division, bar Cork. Well, maybe at Lone as well, actually.
Longford are fairly consistent.
Just having a look at the table now. So that leaves Wexford 4 points outside of the playoffs. They do have a game in hand. It's far from crisis stuff yet at Wexford, but it hasn't been the season we would have expected for them. 7 wins from 24. It's a very poor return.
It is a very poor return after, the poor start to the season last year. Pull it out with a fire in the second half of the season, which we've talked about many times. And then to start this rubbish again. Like, they haven't been able to kick on. They brought in... I think they brought in that new keeper, I can't remember his name, but there was another brutal keeping mistake to open the scoring for Bray.
There was plenty of them in both divisions this week. We talked about a couple in the Premier. There was the one in Longford that went a bit semi-viral as well. So not a good week again for keepers in the league.
Not a good weekend for keepers at all. But another poor result for Wexford. yeah, they should be closer than that. Like, and even there was an opportunity there, I think former guest Aaron Dobbs missed a really good chance running down on goal, but no real pressure, managed to hit it over the bar when you would have expected him to absolutely slot that or drive it into the top corner. He just wasn't able to get it on target. And then, just it's chances like that and stuff like that that probably has really done damage to Bexter this season. Mm. And then you look at other results. I know we're going a bit further back. Like, you look at 2-0 up against Longford, lose or draw that game. And I know they did the same to Longford a few weeks later, but this is the team at the bottom of the division. Like, you need to be putting some of these teams just to the side, especially at home. So to be very disappointed with that. But I'm not really sure. It's very hard to put my finger, well, not put my finger up, but it just seems like, what are Wexford not doing? Do you know what I mean? Like, how are they not getting more out of their seasons than what they've done in the last couple of years? I think it's mad.
Moving on, a fantastic win for Athlone Town. I said at the time of his signing that Kyle Robinson was going, his goals would win them games and a lot of points, and he gets a late winner down in St. Coleman's Park to keep Athlone second in the table. What a season they are having.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're signing very well, aren't they? They've made
change
some
times.
Change times is right, absolutely. But look, they probably had since they were promoted and relegated in 2014 or 13-14, they probably haven't had too many successes. I suppose they knocked out Shelburne in the cup during COVID. Nice result.
Remember that?
There.
Yeah, that was mad.
That was mad. That was the end of Shells that year, by the way. And then their Midlands rivals put the final nail in the coffin that year, huh? But anyway, very good result here for Athlone. They seem to be like maturing a bit with their signings. Maybe more known entities in the division, and in the League of Ireland in general. But particularly like to pull it out with a fire in the last minute, from a new signing, really sweet for them. So huge result, another 3 points on the board, and they can probably start looking forward to the old playoffs now.
Yeah. Treat United 1, Finn Harps 0. Harps just can't seem to get out of this little slump they're in. They've been in it really since before the mid-season break. They've had the odd decent result here and there since, but they've never really got properly motoring again like they were early on in the season.
No, well, as I said many times, I was expecting it to fall off same way the Treaty. That's kind of proven to be the case. There's a bit of sneaking into the playoff positions. Like, they've been very inconsistent as well, have Finn Harps. Like, you know, win a game, lose a game, draw a couple. Like, you look back there, was it a few weeks ago when they drew against Longford, which is a decent result for Longford, of course, but they managed to get a draw at home to UCD, I think it was. Yes, it was. And you're thinking, right, there you go. That's the type of stuff we need, that hardy stuff. And then they only come out with a point away to Longford. So I think stuff like that is the inconsistency is starting to show, and maybe a bit of tiredness around players coming into the latter half of the season.
They don't score enough goals. I think that's their biggest problem. 24 scored in 25. Like, they don't concede that many. They only conceded 26. But
Longford Town actually have scored more goals than a good few teams in this division, which is mad. But I think for like when you've seen success coming at the start of the season, you're expecting him, right, he's going to hit the ground running here, and he did. But particularly that game against Longford, you saw probably why they haven't scored very many goals. Like, he had 3 or 4 really good chances, a couple of good saves from Jack Brady, who? And then a few of them that were just belted straight at Jack.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just, how are you missing these chances? And I think you were on commentary that day, and you were just like, right, we need to, these Finn Harps are going to rue these chances, and they were punished by Longford Town. So I think this is a bit of the same. Really good result for Treaty. Like, that was going to always be a difficult one for them, but look, it was a penalty. Stupid stuff shouldn't really have happened. It was going to be a very difficult chance to for the Treaty man to put it away, but I think the keeper would have got it, so there was no real need to make that challenge. And slotted away by Treaty to put them one up, and that was it. That was all she wrote. So yeah, really good result for Treaty.
Keeping themselves just about in the mix, 6 points off the playoffs. Cork City 2, Kerry, and I must have a look. They must be well able to wrap the title up fairly soon.
But they're 15 points ahead with 11 games left, so they can be well caught. There's no question about that.
But they can't, of course.
Yeah, obviously it's a done deal, I think. Particularly now with Keaton coming back.
Fill his boots now and get his confidence up for Premier Division again next season.
Which will be a completely different kettle of fish. He's comfortable in Cork, as we've seen. He really needs to get rid of that St. Pat's rot out of him. And
what was that Tim Clancy was saying about wages last week?
Jeez, you must have had that one loaded up there a couple of days ago, did you? That's an interesting one. We must ask him about that now. I think that Longford are playing Cork soon. Might go, how are you, Tim? That's a fair point, actually. I never even considered that when I seen it, but he doesn't exactly need
it. Going back to Bowes, Cork just left such a big impression on him that he's, you know, he was always dreaming of going back there.
Yeah, I know. He could have been playing the World Cup final and he was just thinking, what's Sanders Cross doing today? But yeah, look, I think it's a done deal. It's a case closed, I think, particularly with Keaton coming back. If he gets any way back into the form that we've seen that he's capable of doing, it'll be real brown bread for a lot of teams, I'm afraid. I think
another red card for Kerry in this. That's two in the last four games now.
Yeah, it's not a. Yeah.
I think a points deduction is the only solution here.
I think so. I'd be in complete agreement. That's a good solid really good 10 point. Points.
Yeah,
good. Oh, absolutely. I'm more along with it and the VAT. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Look, in this case, the game was already gone, I suppose. But
why get sent off then?
Exactly, and like Cork is a game you're never going to be targeting at Kerry at the minute. You're not going to get points off them. So there's bigger games to come, and now
there's an absolute assload of naivety, or I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but like they need to not be doing that. It's causing issues for them in games. They're missing out on players. It's hard to keep a settled squad or starting 11 or defenders. You know what I mean? Like all of these things are adding up, and that's a right pain in the ass for the manager or coach or person down there. Yeah, they need to really iron that out of their game because they're probably far and away the dirtiest team in the division.
And finally, Longford Town 1, UCD 2. Obviously, you were on comms with Ethan on this one. I was away on a different job on Saturday. Well done to you. I was listening to you on the way back from Dublin in the car. And look, the goals Longford are giving away, the second one, the keeper swinging at fresh air.
Yeah.
It's the sort of stuff you would see in the Sunday League. Like it's so frustrating because I think you were saying that you felt Longford didn't actually play that badly.
Although
I thought UCD probably could have had a couple more goals, a couple of goal line clearances and a few other big chances they had. But it's just the goals they're giving away and have been given away not only this season but last season as well. They just can't seem to eradicate it from their game.
No, I think that's the case. I thought Longford played okay. Obviously they get that odd goal. You said on comms you don't stop them. But I think there was Longford Town didn't play that badly. I don't think they were like outclassed that they were by UCD earlier on in the season, if you know what I mean. And that's the kind of stuff that you want to be seeing from a team down the bottom. I don't think they were blown away. Which is particularly nice because they've obviously taken a few beatings in the last week or last few weeks against Athlone and Galway. So to see like a more stronger performance, let's say, and then yes, they had a couple of goal line clearances, but you need that bit of luck. I said that on commentary. Like, Longford Town would have conceded Bastian Heary's goal this season, or maybe 50 times that goal before Longford Town would have scored one of them themselves. I think there has been times where they've been unlucky, and also the manufacturer of their own downfall most of the time. But like, they haven't got a goal like that. That, okay, we're against a team that's third in the division. They've already, pumped us a couple of times this season. No, they got that look. Do you know what I mean? And then to throw it away from a stupid set piece routine to leave the man free on the edge, around the penalty spot, and he slots it home. Really, really frustrating. But UCD keep marching on, but they didn't have to be fantastic. And I don't think they probably felt they didn't need to be that great to get the 3 points here.
Yeah, that's certainly disappointing. Look, we'll move into the predictions league, and we had Julian Canny playing last week, Galway United fan, and he put in one of the performances of the season so far in the predictions league. He gathered up 12 points. He got 3 correct score lines last week, so that gave him 9 points, and then he got 3 further correct results. So 12 points for him. The guy picked up 8. I think you got 4. So the league table has a very different complexion about it now. All of a sudden, find yourself down the bottom. I did add in those scores we were missing from a few weeks ago. So this is the up-to-date table. You're bottom on 95. I'm second on 99 points. Listeners on 108. So they have broken the 100-point barrier.
Yeah, I will say, to be fair to Julian, like, what there was only 3 Premier Division games last week and 5. So he got 6 correct results and scores out of 8 games.
Yeah, not bad shooting.
Good return. Now, it wasn't as good as mine there, was it last year, where I got every result right. And I should have just been handed the trophy there and then.
Well, you need something now this week, big, because you're bottom of the pile. Look, this week we're going to play, we have a listener and someone whose voice you do hear on the pod from time to time. Kira Lennon, the Dundalk fan, is going to play this week on behalf of the...
Jeez, bottom of the barrel stuff here. No, I'm just saying, what did you roll over in the bed? Here, we're stuck.
that actually pretty much is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
She's given some fairly decent calls here, so we'll see how she gets on. We'll start in the first division.
So hold on, Berko. Yeah, before you go, you have to make the decision now. Are you going to copy my results or copy Kira's results? This is a big one here now.
No copying. But she's, of course, hoping Dundalk don't end up in the first division next season, but she's keeping an eye on it just in case they do. UCD against Wexford, she's going for a 2-1 win to UCD.
Can't see anything different. The way Wexford are playing, the way they're coughing up goals, their keeping situation, there's a lot of stuff that's suspect. So I'd be... Actually, I'll go 2-0 to UCD.
I said it before, UCD have this tendency to slip up in home games that you'd expect them to win. And Wexford's not having a great season, but they still always carry that attack and threat. I can't think of too many games where they don't score, particularly when Dobbs is on the pitch.
Yeah.
So you said UCD weren't fantastic against Longford. I think this could end up being a draw. Wouldn't be surprised if there's a couple of goalkeeping mistakes each end. I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2, okay. I don't know. I we'll say UCD get a couple of players subbed off for injury, and so say, like, I know Ronan Finn is just on the way back. He's on the mend at the minute. But he got I think he got 70 minutes or 75 minutes, which would be great for him in his road to recovery. So having a player like that back on the pitch regular is going to be a huge advantage for UCD. So wouldn't be surprised if he starts next week or starts on Friday for UCD.
Right, Cove Ramblers against Longford Town.
Well, I think Cove will be done by another Midlands team this weekend. 2-1 to Town.
2-1 to the Town, okay. Kira going for a 3-0 win to Cove Ramblers. And I am going to go for a 1-0 win to Cove Ramblers here.
No comment.
Athlone Town against Kerry. That fixture, Kerry, a very fond memories of.
Fond memories, yeah, absolutely. I was going to say it. Athlone became the statistic. Can't see Anton here for Kerry, really.
No.
The way Athlone are motoring, the way they've brought in players that have assimilated well into the team already. I really, it's going to be a very difficult night for Kerry. I'm going to go for 3-0 to Athlone and a Kerry man to be sent off.
I don't think you deserve an extra point for that because it happens so often, but I'll give you one if that is the
outcome. Fair enough, thank you.
I'm going 2-0 to Athlone and Kira's going for a 1-1 draw there. Treaty against Cork City, Munster Derby, one of many.
Treaty against Cork City. Can
Keaton play in this? I assume he can.
Yeah, it was. I think so. Yeah, no, the pros can sign until the end of August, so I can't see why he wouldn't be able to sign or start on Friday. I think this could be a tough one for Cork. Is there a bit? Would there be? I don't know why I'm saying this. Have they won their last five games? I think. Yeah, they have. In the league. But I've a feeling here that could Treaty stop them?
No. Do you think? I have the complete opposite feeling. I think this is going to be a field day for Cork.
A field day?
Yeah.
What are you going for?
4-0, Keaton hat-trick.
A Keating hat-trick?
Yeah.
No, I don't see that. I will lean towards Cork just the way they're going. I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork. I know I'm just literally after going, but yeah, saying that Treaty could pull something out of it. But
well, great minds must think alike, because Kira thinks Treaty could cause a bit of an upset here. She's going for a 2-1 win to the home side. Maybe that's just the old Cork Dundalk rivalry thing. That was never really much of a rivalry. It
was never really a rivalry. Oh, God.
It was between the fans, of course, but anyway.
In their minds.
Harps against Bray.
I think this is probably one of the tougher ones of the division this weekend.
It's a very important game in the old playoff picture.
Very important game. This is a six-pointer here. This could really do damage to Harps. Obviously, with Bray only being the point ahead, do you think Bray will be going up there and just thinking, right, just let's not fill the togs here. Let's just get a draw and get out of this place.
Like, really on form here, you should be looking for a Bray win. That's what you should be looking at, but
not really. It's Bray, yeah, absolutely. Anything can happen. Like, it was surprising to see them banging in 3 against Wexford. But then again, for all the other things we've said about Wexford, it's probably not surprising either. And then flipping it back, you're just surprised to see that Bray are actually just able to get it together and do what they should be doing based on who they're facing.
I tell you, I have a 1 wrote down on my page here for Bray, and I have half of a circle wrote down for 0, but I can't bring myself to complete the circle. As I said, it's Bray. They're very, very good at filling the togs.
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Finn Harps. Let's put it up.
Ooh, wow.
You know, yeah. Success to score.
I think Bray will score. Kira's gone 1-1 here, and I think I'm going to follow my other half. I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, into the Premier Division we go. Waterford against Shamrock Rovers. This is a big one in the race for Europe.
Will there be a bit of a hangover for Shamrock Rovers? A little Johnny back tomorrow, maybe. Waterford with blood in there, or the taste of blood, or out for blood, or whatever that phrase is. You know, it's an important result here, or it's an important game. Like, this is third against fifth, and Shamrock Rovers have a couple of games in hand as well. So Waterford to do it. Really probably just put the final nail in the coffin of Shamrock Rovers season. 1-0 to Waterford.
Okay, very good. Kier's going 1-1. She likes the old BTS special.
Dedicated listener.
Yeah, most certainly. Just wonder if Waterford are beginning to run out of a bit of steam.
Because, like, to be fair to Waterford, like, they've had some really good results against the teams at the top end of the table this season. Why can't they do a job here?
Rovers will probably be thinking a bit about their next European assignment too. Like, what's more important, to get through another couple of rounds and maybe get into a group, or to make sort of European football for next season?
I think that that'd have to be the case, no?
Aiming for a group?
Yeah, they have to.
I'll go 1-1.
Okay, fair enough.
Drogheda against Bowes. This is massive. This is huge.
This is huge. Absolutely huge.
And I fancy Drogheda. And I fancy them strongly-ish.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't like what you saw on Friday night, no? From Bowes?
Well, I haven't liked what I've seen from them all year.
Or the last few years?
No. Drogheda getting a bit cocky again. Not cocky in a bad way, but there's a bit of, there should be a bit of confidence coming back again. There's
a collar going around, is there?
Yeah.
This would be a huge result for them. Like, this would be, this would put it, you know, because Dundalk are playing Galway at home, and there's an opportunity there for Drogheda to, you know, if they got 3 points, Dundalk lose or draw, I don't see them beating Galway at all. I think, yeah, look, I think you're right. I think the pressure will work for Drogheda. I think this is also their first win of the season, wasn't it, earlier on? I think Divine's last games.
You could be right.
Yeah, I think the 1-2-1. Remember, there's a goal from their, like, their own half or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2-1 to Drogheda.
I'm going 2-0.
Ooh.
Kira going 1-1.
Can't afford to give the the rival a 3 points. Fair enough. I like that style.
Obviously, she's going for a Dundalk win against Galway 2-1. You've already said you can't see that happening.
Can you?
I couldn't.
Like, you're probably a bigger Dundalk fan than her.
I'm going to go to this on Friday as well. The Aid Derwent Derby. He's probably good value for a booking, is he, on Friday?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I think he got one there the other night. He was all over the place.
Like, he was.
He actually was sensational. The amount of ground he covered, the amount of disruption he made to Bowes.
He always seems to play well in Daily Mount. Must be the big stage player, as they say. Likes the
Daily Mount.
Yeah.
Okay. I just think he probably things that are like under pressure suit him more. His attributes, getting around the place, and probably he might get away a bit more with his maybe positional play not being so good. What do you think for this one? Come on, you have to.
I think maybe a draw.
Score draw.
Yeah, Dundalk have a nice the middle part of the pitch is coming together nicely. As I said, the likes of Hakiki Mahan coming back to fitness now. O'Kane's hit a bit of form. Horgan is hitting a bit of form. Dervin's come in, but they still just don't have that goal score, and that's an issue. Now, they've signed a lad from Hibs, but again, you don't know until you see these boys. I think a lot of the Scottish signings probably haven't really worked out. We've seen Elliot go back to Scotland there straight away, score 2 goals for East Kilbride on his return, but he just was nowhere near the level required for League of Ireland.
Go on, give us a score there. Let's get out of here.
Are you worried about the Dundalk goalkeeper as well? I'll go 1-1 here. Wouldn't be surprised if Galway maybe do nick it on the night.
I'm going to go to 2-1 for Galway. I think they just have a bit more about them. They've done a job on Dundalk already this season. Yeah, 2-1 to Galway.
Dervin scored for Galway, of course, in Oriel early in the season. 2-1, as I said, Kira goes for her home team. That's understandable. Pats against Sligo, and a good spread of games this weekend. You got a few games on the Friday night. Pats Sligo is Sunday, and Shelsderry is Monday. So we've got a feast of football coming up over the next few days.
Very nice.
Pats Sligo first.
Yeah, what do you think for this one? I think it's going to be very difficult to see past Sligo the way they're playing.
Well, it's difficult to know again with if Pats go out Thursday, it's going to be a huge disappointment having had a 2-goal cushion going into that.
That'd be a nightmare now.
Maybe they go to extra time and penalties and there's nothing in the legs. As you said, Sligo are flying 5 wins in a row in all comps.
Yeah. No, and plus, Pats have to come back from Liechtenstein as well.
Mm.
So that you know, that's another heap of dirt that has to be contended with as well. I'm going to go for Sligo here. I think they'll be
Keenan
well up for this.
Making his debut against his old side.
Oh, he could, yeah, but...
Because he obviously can't play in Europe on Thursday, so he'll be fresh. He'll be ready to go.
Why can't he play in Europe?
Because he wouldn't be... Would you have to
no,
be...
No. No, sure, he wasn't playing in Europe at Cheltenham, like.
Aye, but is there not a... I don't think you can go in for a second leg like that, can you?
Oh, that's a fair point.
Window type thing.
I'm not sure about that. I thought he would have been able to play, but I think that something is speaking to me deep in my brain that you're right about can't show up for the second tie within a first leg, second leg. That's a fair point. I'd have to do some homework on that. There's probably some lad with a clipboard somewhere that made up that rule. But I'd still think, I think Sligo still just, the way they're going at the moment, Showgrounds is a happy place to be at the minute. And they'll look forward to that challenge. You know, you'd be looking at, right, if Pats get through against Vaduz and are looking forward to another tie in Europe, and Sligo Rovers would be looking, right, we'll put these boys down a bit, make their lives a bit more difficult. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Sligo.
Okay. Like Pats, as I said earlier in the show, that performance last Thursday against Vaduz, that's really a blueprint of what they need to be aiming for in the rest of the season in the league. But we will wait and see. We've had false dawns at Richmond in the past.
Plenty.
European hangover a bit possible here. It's very difficult to predict these games. I am going to go for 1-0 Pats.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to go Pats. Just, I don't know. Keena factor.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, go on ahead.
Kira's going 3-1 to Pats. Big Stephen Kenny fan, of course.
All right, fair enough.
And then the big one. Biggest game of the season so far, maybe. Shells Derry, Monday night in Tolka.
What do you think? This is it, I think. This is the game. I don't think there's much... You know, if there's a... There's 3 points between them at the minute. Shelburne have a game in hand. If you're looking at the table Tuesday morning and Shelburne are on 50 points, Derry are on 44.
Do you think it's all over if Shells win Monday?
I think so. I think the mental gap, you know, like even though these games in hand aren't guaranteed 3 points for whoever has the game in hand, but like you're looking at it like, shit, no, 6 points. Shelburne probably won't drop too many points in the rest of the season, and they've a game in hand on us as well. I think that'd be very damaging for the brain of the Derry City players. I know Rory was going on about character and stuff like that. We're seeing drips and drabs of that across this season. Let's be clear about that. I think that would be a huge body blow to Derry's title challenge.
And
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Shells here.
You're going 1-0 Shells?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They've played out 2 draws this season, 0-0 and 1-1. I'm probably in the same camp as you, I think. 1-0 Shells. And would you believe Kira's in the same camp too?
Ah, lovely. How romantic.
1-0, 1-0, 1-0.
Yep. Who's going to score? Mark Coyle with a banger.
Boyd.
Yeah. Yeah, and I might get sent off then.
Later. Yeah. It'd be a fitting way if that is the kind of result that they look back on the end of the season, that they win the league, there's 1-0 Shells, that'd be fitting. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Man. But look, it's their blue, as you were talking about Pats's blueprint, that'd be the blueprint for Shells. There's no question about it.
Right, we'll move into the BTS hotline, and the first question surrounds that big game next Monday. Dwayne Doyle, Shells fan. Huge game next Monday, Shells v Derry. Will Derry fill the togs? Is it a must win for Derry and a must not lose for Shells if Shells win? Is the league theirs?
that's one concern I have. Like, is there a bit of, would there be an element of conservatism? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where, okay, we can't give the bit to Derry. And that might be in the back of the minds of Shells. Like, are they going to go out and put it on Derry?
I don't think so.
Yeah. But I still think that they have
the tools to
exactly
pull that off.
But to pull a 1-0 off.
Yeah.
I think if Derry go ahead, I think then, you know, we're in the whole thing's in shite. I think if Derry wanna have a real go at the division, which they need to do completely, they need to go open this game up from the first second and go at these lads. They need to be, you know, there's a, when Vinnie Jones was interviewed there a few years ago about that Wimbledon, when he was at Wimbledon and they met Liverpool, and they were talking about after like 5 seconds, he clattered someone. I don't know who it was. But he was asked about it years later and he was like, did you pick your man out? He said, did I pick the man out? I started the run up a week and a half ago. And I think that's what Derry need to be thinking, that mindset. They need to be imagining and working and thinking about how to bit the life out of these lads on Monday. There's no question about it. If they go out and play the thirds,
and they've had enough time now,
and the shite that they've been at for plenty of this season, it'll be over.
That will be very much held against them too if they lose on Monday, the amount of time they've had to build up to this fixture.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like Biden there before the Trump debate. You know, he had a 10 days holed up somewhere, and that's what he brought out, like. Pats a few weeks ago.
Kenny in Athens, warm weather camp,
flying out hairdressers and all that shit. Like, not enough was made about that, by the way, as I'm still annoyed about that game, and I probably will be for a while. Or even Pats there at the weekend, staying up the night before. Against Derry, they have been given this gift of extra time and, you know, peace in their head to go and do this game on Monday. They just have to go and do it. There's no two ways about it. This is a huge game for Derry, and I think with our predictions just there between the three of us going all 1-0, doesn't say much about our confidence in Derry being able to do that.
Sam, and he's not actually asking for an update on the food question.
And we're just busy men. We are busy people.
Sam, I know you spoke about the gulf between the Premier and First Division this year, with Cork and UCD being replaced by Waterford and Galway. Do you reckon Drogheda are better than Cork? I think they are comfortably and should win the First Division handy if they go down.
Yep, that's right. I think Drogheda are a better team.
Yeah, Keaton signing probably maybe squeezes the gap a bit, but I still think Drogheda are a better team than Cork, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. If Drogheda do end up going down, they'll be straight back up. There's no
problem with about it. Yeah. Ian, have Drogheda and Dundalk gotten away with the fighting on the pitch a couple of weeks ago, the days after there was talk of stadium closures, point deductions? The only statement I have heard has come from Joanna Byrne. Radio silence from the FAI so far. A bit strange.
Thank you for bringing that up. Who has that?
Ian.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Look, I'm sure something is going to follow. I think both the way it's particularly that interview with Joanna, when she said, like, Drogheda wouldn't be appealing, whatever punishment comes, they obviously are expecting punishments.
Yeah.
Something will come out, I'm sure, but that was such a huge incident. Like, it was such a bad PR event for the league. I can't understand why it's taken so long. The FAI didn't release. I couldn't believe there was no statement released on the night from the FAI. The clubs obviously released statements in the following days, but I couldn't believe that night that the FAI didn't have a statement out to say, you know, we're aware and blah, 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 investigation underway, whatever. We've heard nothing from the FAI on this. And even now, if a punishment does come out, a big fine or maybe a game behind closed doors, has it lost a little bit of its oomph?
That's what I was about to say. And actually, and as you even mentioned, the PR perspective of it, there wasn't that much about it, was there? In retrospect. You know, like, there was no, like, you know, big write-ups or anything like that. It kind of died a death fairly quickly.
No? Would you, like... you were brain fairly so shortly after?
I still met the papers, I suppose. Not great.
Yeah, but I suppose with so much going on all the time, like, it's probably hard to, you know, a bunch of egots running onto the pitch, slapping each other isn't that big of news either. Mm. It's big news for us, and it's was a disgrace to be looking at. I think you're right. Like, what you know, what investigation is going on? What's the delay for? Get it out, get it done. I don't think the delay has kind of softened the whole reaction to it. Like, people would have to think about what that was. Oh, yeah, I remember all them clowns on the pitch. Yeah, that's fair enough. Whatever punishment they mete out. I think they should have done it a long time ago, closer to the incident itself. But, another pain from the FAI. I know he's, now that we're a few weeks later, probably any punishment is going to seem a bit harsh. Do you know what I mean? Like, that wasn't too bad. You know, the immediate reaction is kind of worn off. What do you think is a fair thing now? Because we were talking about stadium bans there in the immediate aftermath. What do you think is... Now?
And I suppose the fact that they've played again and it went off without a hitch. I don't really know. It's not my job to come up with punishments. It's the FAI's job. And the fact that nothing has come out so far, it is, as Ian says, it's a bit strange. But then again, I suppose it matches what went before the fireworks in the RSC. That time, the season ended and we heard nothing about it. And then we heard stadium ban for UCD, and that was obviously overturned. But that went on 3 or 4 months. I think there's been other ones as well that have gone on for a long time. So I don't know what kind of processes the FAI have in place for these things, who they speak to, what investigation, what is an investigation, what it entails. I don't know, but I think they need to be quicker. But even then, actually, I see the other day, do you remember last season in the FA Cup, Wolves and West Brom, there was massive crowd trouble in an FA Cup tie?
No, didn't hear that at the time because I don't care.
Is that the Black Country derby, I think, between them two? There was a massive tear-up at it. It was live on telly and like there was riot police out on the pitch and everything. Even though that game kicked off at something like 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning or something. There was obviously the prospect of trouble between the two. But the fines for that actually only came out the other day as well. Both clubs got massive fines for...
I totally understand, but like I don't care what goes on in other countries.
Yeah.
You know, it's same shit. Oh, the Ireland and you know, we're not too bad when it comes to the EU and blah blah blah. Like, no, we can do stuff ourselves. We don't need to constantly look about what people are doing in other places and constantly compare. We know that was wrong. The punishment should have been done.
Yeah.
This is it. We don't need to look at, oh yeah, some lad slapped another lad and 8 months later he got a fine for it or whatever. I don't want to know about any of that. We need to stop doing that as well. We need to compare ourselves with stuff that is, you know, right and things that we're trying to do, not about like, oh yeah, well, it took 9 months for a fine to be given out. That's bullshit. Forget about that.
Yeah, fair enough. Right, Jer O'Brien, based on St. Pat's squad or the squad they're building and the Kenny factor, are Pat serious title contenders for next season? Derry will always be Derry under Higgins, and you feel it is the end of an era at Rovers?
Ooh, that's a very...
The last bit of it there, like you think of it now and you think of how poor they've been this season, you're like, no, not title contenders next season. But like, it doesn't take... Look where Shells have come from. Fourth, scraping fourth on the last day of the season, and now they're top of the table and looking the most likely winners. Rovers have had that massive drop off. We've even seen Waterford and Galway mixing it in the top three at times this season. Derry, we feel that in their current guise, they're not going to kick on.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretending,
unless there's maybe changes in how they do things next season, are they always just going to be that? Are they going to be the Mayo GAA team of the League of Ireland? Are they always going to just be there and never kick the door down? Can Shells build on what they're doing at the minute? They probably can, I'd imagine. But like Rovers, will they still be up there next season, or are they going to have a couple of quiet years? Like, it wouldn't take much for a team like for Pats to probably be mixing it next season for a title.
No, certainly not. And I think there'll be the other thing to that is there'll be another window for Kenny to make some movements in and out, and he'll have a full preseason and under his belt to root at too. So I think there's, you know, there's opportunities there for Pats to really come on strong next season. And obviously with the experience of Kenny having done it a good few times, why can't he instill that into St. Pat's? That's what he was brought in for. So yeah. I fully expect him to do that. I think probably the more interesting question is, can Shelburne keep going? You know, if they do push on and win the division this year, can they repeat that next year? Might be more difficult. You know, the teams may have figured them out a bit, be a bit more prepared. As I said before, I think there needs to be some type of philosophy transplant done in Derry, or else they will end up like a Mayo.
Footballer on the ditch, do you think Aidan Keane can break the St. Pat's striker curse? If so, how many goals will he score before the end of the year?
Big pressure. Big pressure. I don't think, like as I said earlier, like they're not the only team that have like semi-ruined strikers that have come in. Maybe not ruined, but like no real striker has probably reach the highs that were maybe anticipated.
I think he'll do okay, because if you think back to his time at Sligo, we all have this romantic image in our head of them beating Motherwell and going well in Europe, but they were crap in the league.
Oh, dark.
He did really, really well. So I think he'll score goals at Pats. I think, as I said earlier, if they can get through this tie on Thursday, he could be just coming in at the perfect time. The Kenny factor, European buzz around the place. They're in the running now in the league. Hit it strongly and you're flying.
So it's all buzzing, so why not? Why can't he buzz as well?
Richmond is bouncing again.
Yeah, look, I think he has the attributes. He did not have a good season with Cheltenham, and I think he was their record signing or something like that. Their fans weren't bothered remotely from the bit I saw online today that he had left. Do you think he'd be the one to break it?
I think he'll do okay.
Well, what's okay? Like, but that's not breaking the curse, let's call it. Like, okay is what, 8-9 goals?
Between now and the end of the season.
Oh, 8-9 goals between now and the end of the season. That'd be huge. That'd be unbelievable. Yeah. That's curse broken then.
Yeah.
Let's come back to him in 12 months' time. How was the start of the season? That'd be the one. But look, I think it's too early to say. Like, obviously, I think also, when thinking about football, I think about what John Martin said to us after Longford Town were relegated. These boys they've traumatised. How quickly will he be able to bounce back from a poor season with Cheltenham? That's going to be important.
I mean, like, obviously, you know, it wasn't this simple for Keating. I was just going to say, he's got Elbuzadi, Forrester and Mulroney behind him.
Right.
There should be chances created. Now, that wasn't the case with Keating. But I just think that maybe, judging by last Thursday's performance against Vaduz, and again, it could be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction because I don't think they were a fantastic side. We'll probably know a bit more about them now in the second leg when they're at home. If Pats can come through that, as I said, maybe that's just the turning point of the whole kind of year there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Seagull chat is, if a second First Division team somehow gets promoted, they won't. Don't worry about that. Is there any hope of them not immediately being relegated the following season? At this point, the only ones who warrant a prayer would be Athlone, considering the money and the people they have backing them. I think we're going to have to put a ban, and we appreciate all the questions that come our way, but we need to get it out of our heads, folks. There is no chance. And I know we said this last season about Waterford, but that is apples and oranges compared to what's in the First Division at the moment. There is no chance that there is two teams coming up from the First Division this season. Dundalk or Drogheda could put out 9 men and they will win comfortably.
I wouldn't fully agree with that, but I'd be 90% there. I think you're right. The gulf in class is just too great. I don't think Athlone, as good as they've been, have the tools to win in a playoff against either of those teams is, it's just not a runner. I just don't see it.
Elon Musty, are you surprised no other Premier Division team took a gamble on Rory Keaton? Have Pats jumped the gun moving him on? We'll take that part of the question first. Have they jumped the gun getting rid of him so soon, Gary?
No. As soon as Keaton became available.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think so.
And also, and not only that, like what even made it more of a no-brainer, Keaton probably had enough of it and then Cork were available. It was just a perfect in all areas.
Yeah, and the fact that kind of, I said earlier, people were surprised that Keaton maybe had left so quickly. There probably was no clubs thinking that it was a viable option to actually go and approach Pats for him. And yeah. say Bowes came in and said, we want Rory Keaton. Pats probably wouldn't have let him go there, or they would have been looking for an extortionate transfer fee. Whereas him going back to Cork, we can move him on, get him off the book, get Keaton in. It's perfect for both parties. Yeah. I think that's the important part there. I don't think that it's other clubs looked at Keaton and said, no. I think it's just that this was the perfect deal for everyone. So, Daniel Kyo, what's your opinion on Shells getting the fine for singing Gibraltar is Spanish and St. Joseph's not getting fined for this gesture? And it shows, I don't know who this gentleman is, but he's making a bit of a gun salute to his head. Look, UEFA are very, very funny with these things. I think we've seen big fines handed out in the past for what people would see as kind of minor infractions, and then there's been like serious racism incidents where the fine in comparison has been very small. So it's kind of, UEFA is a world of its own. You don't really know how it operates a lot of the time. So
I think no fine. Shouldn't have been given a fine, particularly, and if you're going to give a fine, give something like, you know, token fine, $2,000 or something like that. 21 grand is stupid.
Mm. Like, I mean, I see there this evening, the Sparta Prague fans had a big, massive Union Jack. Like, are they going to get fined for that? Or, you know what I mean? It's...
Yeah, no, yeah, but like, are they? Like, that's a legitimate question. Probably not. They need to be fined for it. That's the same. That's not, I'm not saying it's the same, but like, it's in the same ballpark. Mm. So, should be fine for it.
Yeah. Look, that's the hotline. I think we had Git was onto us there. I tweeted out earlier on, can Daniel Whiffen kick a ball? What a bloody gore he is. Congratulations to him. Brilliant to see him bringing home the gold earlier on in the swim. And some stamina on him. But Git says, I heard Kenny's offered him a six-figure sum.
Oh, probably he would. Yeah, absolutely.
And someone else replied, he won't be joining Longford.
No, well, that's a fact.
People enjoying our misery. Great to see, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, look, you know, we don't have too many. No, we've had some good times, so no.
Enjoying the Olympics, though, I have to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen as much of it as I would have liked.
No, probably same as that.
Ramona just, and Daniel, all right, but that
was this hour of the evening, like even when the kind of events are over, just so you can flick through the different channels on legal means and... you know, all the different sports. You can watch handball for a few minutes, a bit of water polo, a bit of fencing or whatever. It's great.
I know, it's great.
Someone described the Olympics as the tapas of sport. I think that's a great analogy.
Yeah, I definitely think I can probably do most of the sports that I'm watching, and then I could definitely give that a go. No bother, make a fist of this, but obviously, no. Just a tubby League of Ireland fan is all I am.
Yeah, sure. Look, that's it for this week. We will be back again next week to review the European results and what happens in the league. But that was Series 8, Episode 23 of Between the Stripes, LOA Podcast with Kieran Burke and Gary Riley. We were brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.